Shalom, welcome back. I hope you have enjoyed yourself with some of the previous teachings on mikvah. I'm Rico Cortez from Wisdom and Torah Ministries. I want to thank all of you for coming back and being part of these teachings that we're trying to do. As you notice, a lot of the teachings that I do it in a series. The reason why I do that way I have enough time to expand on certain areas of teaching so I don't have to go faster than I usually talk. I try to go slower. I'm learning to pace myself. It's not an easy thing for me, you know. I got to learn that. It's something that I'll be working on. I promise I'll work on it. But anyway, let me continue. In the last session, we were together. And by the way, if you missed this session, please go back and call GLC and get yourself a copy of the previous teaching. That way you can follow along what we're trying to do. We're talking about biblical mikvah, biblical immersion, which the church calls a baptism. We're trying to compare the biblical way of doing things versus the way we have traditionally understood certain principles. And it's different. It's very different. I have to change quite drastically in my mindset as I began to study these things. And one of the things that I always asked was, why do we have to do the baptism in the name of Yeshua as Messiah? As I come to understand and as I come to share with you in the previous teachings, is that you're using the name of the witness, the person who's your witness that you belong to the congregation. Remember that mikvah, immersion, is nothing new. It was practiced all the time throughout Israel in regards to temple service or for a woman in her menstrual cycle. So yes, well, ladies, if you still have your menstrual cycle, you have not gone through your menopause, then after your menstrual cycle, I highly recommend you doing the practice of the nidalos or the mikvah after the nidalos. Very important to understand what that's all about. And sometime I might speak about it a little bit more. What we're going to be doing this time around, we're going to focus on Acts 10. We're going to talk about Cornelius and why Peter reacted the way he did in regards to him and big mikvah in the name of Yeshua. Let's continue right into that. We talked about Ger Toshav, Ger Tzadik. We explained the differences between a Gentile pagan versus the Ger Toshav, or somebody who is making conversion, and a Ger Tzadik who is a proselyte, okay? So let's continue. A righteous Gentile, or a righteous sojourner, or a righteous stranger within you. Now, Ruth was a stranger. She became full-fledged Israel, but she was a stranger, and she said it, I want your Elohim to be my Elohim, your people to be my people. Where you go, I will go. In other words, if you accept Yeshua as your Messiah, now you're no longer a Gentile. According to Ephesians chapter 2, you are part of the household of Elohim. And the household of Elohim is an idiom for the 12 tribes of Israel. You are not a separate entity from the people in the Bible. Amen? Let's continue. Let's go to the screen so you see what I'm talking about. Ger Toshav is a God-fearer. Ger Tzadik is a proselyte. Now, in Acts 10, verse 45, we talked about Acts chapter 10, verse 2, that Cornelius was a devout man. So we established previously that he was somebody who was keeping Torah. He was not a practicing pagan trying to come into the knowledge. So when Yeshua, when the Messiah spoke to Peter in regards to Cornelius, and the whole vision has to do with somebody who is making the transition from a pagan practices to who is now walking in the ways of the Torah, who is a God-fearing man. In other words, this man is keeping Torah. He is following the feast. He is keeping the Sabbath. He's eating kosher. He's doing everything the Torah says, but he does not have the conversion process completed. He doesn't have the Brit Milah, the circumcision, and he doesn't have the mikvah yet. He is walking in it. Okay? He is sanctified by the blood of Messiah, but he is not recognized as a complete part of Israel by the Pharisees of the time. Let's continue now on Acts chapter 10, verse 45. As the whole sequence of events happened, in Acts 10, verse 45 says, and they of the circumcision that believe were amazed. In other words, there were Pharisees that were there. As many came up with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, many people would take that verse and say, you see, Gentiles. Yeah, but you see, you have to understand the context of the chapter. What it's telling you is that an Italian person who turned away from his pagan practices, and he is giving allegiance to the Torah, allegiance to Yahweh, following the Torah, keeping the clean, and keeping walking in himself in the statutes and the commandments of the Torah, Now, the Pharisees that believed that went with Peter understood that that's strange. That guy who is from a Gentile background, the Ruach HaKodesh, can come upon him like it does on us. Well, how can that be? He's a Gentile. Aren't the Gentiles unclean? Can the presence of the living Elohim dwell in a defiled temple? That's the question. And that's why they're surprised. Because Gentiles, according to rabbinical circles, Gentiles are unclean. The presence of Yahweh cannot dwell on an unclean vessel. So this is the sign of Cornelius being accepted into the community. Because Yahweh, by the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit upon him, let the Pharisees know that he is a clean vessel. He just has not fulfilled all of the requirements of the Pharisaic movement in the first century to be declared a Jew. You follow the difference? Yahweh has accepted him as part of the congregation through the blood of Yeshua by the seal of the Holy Spirit. But the Pharisees, they have their method of accepting somebody into their community, and that has to be done according to their ways. Peter understands this. And on verse 46 says this, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then Peter answered," listen to what Peter said, "Can any man forbid the water that this should not be baptized, who have received the Ruach HaKodesh as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then pray they him to tarry certain days. That's very significant for us to understand. The question is why Peter is speaking in this way. He's very clear. He's saying, can any man forbid water, the water to this guy Cornelius? I mean, what more sign do we need? What other signs do we need? Do we need him to go through the whole process of conversion that the Pharisees require? Or does Yahweh just told us that this man is cleansed, that he is no longer common and unclean, that he is part of the commonwealth of Israel, that he is part of the community now, that the seal of approval did not come from the Pharisaic system, but came from the living Elohim himself through the blood of Messiah by the work of Yeshua? And that's why Peter is saying in the name of, remember what William Lasor says from Archaeology Review, that the idiomatic expression in the name of appears to be in the name of the rabbi that's a witness. And Yeshua is that true witness, his true witness. So there, here we see that Peter understood. He understood what was happening. The vision that he saw, he finally understood it. And when we read in Acts chapter 10, let's go back to Acts chapter 10. And by the way, I remind you that Cornelius was the first Gentile who came into the faith 10 years after the events on the day of Pentecost. In the day of Pentecost, there was not one pagan practicing Gentile. Everybody that was there were all following the Torah. They were all eating kosher. They were all following the statutes and following the feast and the Sabbath. As we read in Acts chapter 10, says this. Says, the next day, let me see if I can find it here from the beginning. Let me read from verse 3. It says, "And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of Elohim coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Adonai?" See, he knew. What is it, my master? "And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before Elohim." Hello? What does that say to you? This guy was no longer a pagan practicing Italian. He was now an Italian origin Gentile who made the transition, just like Abraham made the transition from the land of Ur into a Hebrew, from a Gentile to a Hebrew. And then here the angel appears to him, and now he's giving alms, and he's doing what? The prayers. Which prayers? To who? To which gods? To the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 5. "Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, verse 9, as they went to their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up from the housetops to pray. And about the sixth hour, you notice that these people are praying. Jews pray three times a day. And he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they was made ready, he fell in a trance and saw heaven open. And an object like a great sheet, bound with four corners, descended to him and let down onto the earth. And then there were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now listen to Peter's reaction. But Peter said, "Not so, Adonai. For I have never eaten anything common and unclean." Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 3 and verse 7. See what it tells us. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 3 and verse 7 says this. "For you are holy to Adonai Elohim, and to Adonai, and Adonai has chosen you to be a people to himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Nevertheless," verse 7, "those that chew the cud and have cloven hoofs, you shall not eat. Such as these, the camel, the herd, the rock hyrax, and the chew the cud, but do not have cloven hoofs, they are unclean unto for you. Also the swine is unclean for you, because it has cloven hoofs, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat of their flesh or touch their carcasses." Peter knew this. It is a direct commandment of the Torah. So here we see in Acts chapter 14 that he is debating. He's debating with Adonai. And verse 15 says, "And the voice spoke to him again and second time, what has God, what Elohim has cleansed, you must not call common." But what is he talking about? See, Yahweh is using something physical to teach him something spiritual. He's using him the difference of what? Clean and unclean, to use the example of a Gentile who, according to even rabbinical circles, they are unclean. Gentiles are unclean. A Gentile in the temple service could not go in the court of the Israelites or the court of the Levites. If a Gentile will cross the wall that was there, in three languages, there was a sign that they would take him outside the camp and they would stone him. So Cornelius was a proselyte. Cornelius was somebody keeping the commandments. So as we continue, in verse 16, says this. "This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered," he didn't know what it meant. It says, "and while Peter wondered within himself what the vision he has seen meant, behold, the men who have been sent from Cornelius have made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate." So here we see that Peter didn't know what it meant. He knew that the commandment says, "Those things you should not eat." He answered and says, "I will not do that because it's common and unclean." He was following Torah. Adonai show him the dream, tells him to do it. But what in reference to what? Surely he can break his own commandments. So here, as soon as he didn't know what it meant, the disciples or the messengers from Cornelius come in the picture. Now he's getting the understanding. Let's continue. "And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Rise, therefore, and go down to them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the man who has been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he who has seek whom you seek. For what reason have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion is just man,'" there we go, "'one who feared Elohim and has good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by the holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.'" Now notice the answer that the disciples, that the messengers give Peter. It says, "one who feared Elohim and one of good reputation." In other words, this person was following Torah. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Who are they? The ones who believe, remember? The Pharisees who believed.
And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together the relatives and close friends. Let me jump to verse 28, okay? He says, then he said to them, you know, Peter said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company and go to one of another nation. But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man common and unclean. But why has Elohim showed him not to call Cornelius common and unclean, or any man common and unclean? Because he is a devout man. He is following the covenant. He is following the Torah. So therefore, now what he's doing, he is going from one state to the next one. You see? He is going from a Gentile pagan to a Ger Toshav, a devout man. And then he will become a Ger Tzaddik, a proselyte. And here it says, therefore I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? And Cornelius, 4 days ago, I was fasting into this hour, and at the ninth hour I pray in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms and remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send now to Joppa and call Simon here, whose servant is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. Verse 33. So I went to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are present before Elohim to hear all the things commanded you by Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, listen to the words. He says, in truth, I perceive that Elohim shows no partiality. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. Why is Peter using those words? And Deuteronomy 9, verse 17 says this. Then I look at the two tablets. I'm sorry, let me go to the right verse here. Chapter 10, verse 17. Deuteronomy just says this. For the Lord your Elohim is Elohim of gods and the Lord of lords, the great Elohim, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. In other words, he understands that Yahweh is not making a distinction. But notice that Cornelius was coming and walking in the covenant before Yahweh listened to the prayers. This is very significant, because it's important to understand Yahweh's ways of doing things. Can he call you clean if you're still walking in defilement? If you're walking in the idols of your forefathers? If you're eating the unclean? And here we see that Cornelius took the first steps. He repented. He made conversion. He's walking in the commandments, not only himself, but his household. Now he is a clean vessel. He's walking in obedience. He just needs to be considered as part of the people, which the Pharisees would not do unless he went through a process of conversion. Even to this day, in Judaism, it's a 2-year process. Okay? Let's continue. And it says in verse 35 of Acts 10, says, but in every nation, whoever fears and works righteousness is accepted by him. Listen to what Peter says. It says, in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by Elohim. The word which Elohim sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Yeshua, Messiah, he is Adon of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John preached. How Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth by the Ruach HaKodesh with power and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the enemy, for Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whose they killed by hanging on the tree. We'll continue. Verse 40, we go on verse by verse. It says, him who Elohim raised them on the third day and showed him openly, not all the people, but to witnesses chosen, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by Elohim, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that he who was ordained by Elohim to be judge of the living and of the dead, to him all the prophets witnessed that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. Interesting. This is the gospel. Verse 44. While Peter was standing speaking these words, the Ruach HaKodesh fell upon all those who heard the word. And then on verse 45 says this words. Let's go to the screen so you can see it. And they all the circumcision that believed were amazed. And many came with Peter because of the book that on the Gentiles was also poured out the Holy Spirit. But remember that he is a Gentile origin, but he's walking in the commandment. And it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid the water that these shall not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua Mashiach. Why? Because Peter is saying, hey guys, we no longer have to go through the requirements of the Pharisaic movement. This man has been approved, the seal of approval. Because in Ephesians chapter 1 tells you very clearly, Ephesians 1 tells you very clearly that the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our redemption. And verse 13 and 14 says this, in him you also trusted, after you heard the words of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Ruach HaKodesh of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance into the redemption of the precious possession to the praise of Elohim. In other words, we have been redeemed and we have been sealed by the Ruach HaKodesh. So when the Holy Spirit fell upon Cornelius, it was a sign to Peter and the circumcision that Peter and that Cornelius was accepted by Elohim as part of the congregation. So therefore, you don't need Brit Milah. You don't need circumcision before the immersion to be considered the people of Elohim. You still need physical circumcision to be part of the Israelites. But you see, the sequence was out of whack in Judaism. In Judaism, to be considered a full-fledged Jew, you have to have full circumcision. Then they consider you a full-fledged Jew, even if afterwards you don't follow Torah. You're still a Jew in their eyes. According to the Torah, you have to have circumcision of the heart, repentance, circumcision of the heart, walk in the commandments, you do the immersion, and then circumcision follows just like he did in the life of Abraham. We're going to see that in a moment. Okay? So as we see this, you understand the premises of Yahweh, what he's trying to establish. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, and see who was present at the day of Pentecost. Let's go to the screen so you see what I mean. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, for the remission of sin, that you shall receive the Ruah, the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. They were immersed with the seal of the Holy Spirit in the name of Yeshua, who is the true witness. They were baptized. Acts 8:16 says, For as he was falling upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of Adon Yeshua. Now in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 15 says, Is Messiah divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, Paul understood this. Paul understood this principle. Paul is having issues with the people in Corinthians because now they're taking sides. This guy belongs to Paul. This guy belongs to Apollos. This guy belongs to this. Now let's go back to the text. Okay? And he says, is Messiah divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Thank Elohim that I baptized none of you but Cyprus and Gaius. Now, why did he use that language? I didn't baptize none of you, but Cyprus and Gaius. Why did he say that? Because Paul was the witness of those two men that he's talking about in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 1. In other words, I was there. I was the witness. I was their teacher. I saw them. I could testify that they made a transition from unholy to holy. Verse 15 says this, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Messiah sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Messiah should be of none effect. In other words, now you don't have to worry about, guys, you don't belong to this guy, you don't belong to this guy, because your only and true witness is Yeshua. You do it in the name of Yeshua. I was witness to these two guys. But Yeshua is your Messiah. Yeshua is your witness. His job is to teach the gospel, not to baptize anybody. That's the principle of biblical mikvah. You see the evidence in the Brit Hadashah, but if you remove the Hebraic understanding of scripture, you're going to miss it. You're going to lose it. And then you're going to apply something completely foreign to the Bible. You're going to use Greco-Roman understanding of immersion. And then you're going to do something completely different than what had been prescribed for us in the Torah and in the prophets. And that was practiced in the first century. You know, we're going to continue to the series of teachings. We got a few more that I want to touch on. And I'm going to connect to Acts 10, Cornelius, with the way of mikvah in rabbinical thought. And then we're going to connect it with some more insight. And so stay with us, because this is very significant to understand why in the name of Yeshua, our true and only witness. Remember, you don't have to believe anything that I say. Your job is to do and follow and research everything that I say, so Yahweh can be true in your life. Remember, Yahweh's truth, His Torah is truth. Keep moving forward and searching, and let the word of Yahweh be true in your life, and men's words be traditions, and do away with them. Only the words of Yahweh. Shalom.